Load.
SoFiO on the radio.
This is
October 13th, 2016. I'd like to thank my Lord Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We are jam-packed like normal. This is a big-time day around these parts. It is game five in the National League Divisional Series with the Dodgers and the Nationals. It will come on in about 2 hours. I'm going to just say this before we get started. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but I'm just going to say this. If you want to see D.C. rock, pay attention to this game because D.C. is going to rock that place tonight, even though don't let me get talking about the Metro service around here. You're trying to make people leave early for the game. Uber people, if you want to make some money, get out in front of Nationals Park because the Metro Rail is disgustingly inept right now. And I have no problem in saying those exact words, disgustingly inept. How do you have a sporting event game, arguably the biggest sporting event game they've had in these parts since, 2012 when they were playing the Cardinals for the Game 5 to go to the NL Championship Series in 2012. And remember, they did the same thing with the Metro Rail then. They cut it off early, and people didn't have a way to get home. But anyway, I digress. I got to talk about the most miserable night. Oof. Never mind. Gonna have to talk about my Giants here, and it was the toughest loss a Giants fan has faced since 2002, when again the World Series was coming to San Francisco for the first time in 40 years, and somehow they didn't get the 5 outs necessary to win it, and thus California Angels wound up taking the series in 7. But this one was right up there. This one really hurt. The Giants came up playing the Cubs. The Cubs go up 2-0. The Giants go back home. They win a thrilling Game 3, a Game 3 which they lost a 2-run lead in the 9th inning. Now, people don't even talk about that. Brought in Sergio Romo. He gave up 2 runs. They go into extra innings. They win it in extra innings. Come back. Come right back. Here comes Matt Moore, who was sensational. So went 8 innings, gave up 2 runs. It's five to two. People are believing again. And the bullpen found a way. 4 runs in the 9th inning. The Cubs win the series 6-5. People are pulling their hair out because there was no Santiago Castillo to blame this time. You blame the whole bullpen now. You had Derek Law not get it done. You had Lopez not get it done. Romo not get it done. Will Smith not get it done. It just went on and on and on. Brandon Crawford with the big error. It just nothing worked in the 9th inning. It was a microcosm of the season. I have no idea how the Giants could even fathom that this was going to happen. 31 blown saves on the season. Think about that now. 31 blown saves. Think about that. Let's just say they just had 30. Let's say that they had 20 blown saves, which is really bad. They would have won 98 games this season. Then you don't talk about the Cubs so much. But the only difference between the two, they had a Aroldis Chapman. And remember the night before, in Game 3, the Cubs brought in Chapman, and the Giants beat Chapman. Well, they thought they beat him. beat them with a double by Connor Gillespie. The fact of the matter is, it was a great series, but it really hurt because the fact that we thought we were going to have a game five. Can you imagine the pressure? Game five in Wrigley, you know Cueto is going to pitch, and the specter of Bumgarner coming out of the bullpen. Oh, my word, the people would have been pissing in their pants over there in Chicago. But it never happened. And the fact is, the Giants fell down. The leave-in year is over. You can guarantee that $40 million that the Giants have that's coming off the payroll when Casilla, Romo, coming off the books, Lopez, when these guys coming off the books, you can believe they will get some bullpen and help. I mean, I already have names in my mind. I mean, hey, can we get Boone Logan over there from Colorado to get some left-handers out? My word. Unbelievable. I am just so, just not happy with the performance out there. And I do have another, if the Giants want to save money, I've been thinking this for a long time. Why not move Matt Cain to the closer? If he can close, then you're going to save money because you don't have to get another high-priced pitcher. You just bring somebody from the bring them up from AAA, whether it's Suarez, if you can get Heston healthy in the off season, because you already got your four pitchers. You already got Bumgarner, Samardzija, Cueto, and more. You already have those four right there. You just bring a fifth. You move Cain to the bullpen. Then, Peavy's contract comes off the map. You put Cain in the bullpen. He doesn't pitch well past five innings anyway. If you put him in there and he can take care of the one inning, then it saves you from getting a closer. You can put him as a stopper if you want. I don't think that's going to work for $22 million. But the fact of the matter that the Giants, they have to fix that bullpen, and I mean total reconstruction of the bullpen, just like they did the starting staff, where they just dropped everybody, said, look, we're just going to start all over. Bumgarner's going to be our guy, but we're starting all over with the next five, except for Cain, and Cain was the fifth starter. He didn't get it done. I would see if Cain could handle the bullpen. All right, I know I spend a lot of time on my Giants because this is game five, Dodgers Nationals. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't get better than this. There isn't anything better in postseason baseball. One game, one win, or go home. Oh, there's nothing like it. The tension on every pitch. The crowd is going to rock. The tension on every at-bat is just right there. They're for the Dodgers. They're putting out Rich Hill. They're going to put him out there. They're going to put the old schooler guy out there on 3 days rest, which I don't have a problem with. But remember, he had that blister problem. I've been talking about it. He's had that blister problem, which is why he isn't able to go to a lot of innings. And if you remember, he went to those seven perfect game innings, and they took him out because the blister. You didn't want the blister to develop. Same thing with 3 days rest. What happens with 3 days rest? Is he only able to go five? We'll see how that works out. So I'm just glad. I have stated I am glad that the Dodgers are not bringing out Scott Kazmir because I think he would really, really put the Nationals in a hole, especially if the Dodgers are able to start out quickly as they had every game in the series. They scored in the first inning in every game. And the Nationals, they're going with Max Scherzer. Look here. I have stated and I have talked about many times. Max Scherzer, he is a number one, but in terms of a series, he's not the dude you want to end your series with. He just is not that guy. Well, here they go. They're going to throw him out there. They're going to sink or swim with Max Scherzer. Personally, I think they're going to sink. I don't like saying it, but I don't think the Nationals really understand that This is not a guy you give the ball to with the game on the line. We saw what happened in game one. They beat him down 6 runs in 4 innings. They didn't score else. They didn't. The Dodgers didn't score on anybody else. And they won game one. That was a big win because when the Nationals won in L.A., they had to win two, not just one. But it was another great series in the NL. Can't ignore the AL. L. What about you got to give props to the Indians. And the Blue Jays, they really took care of business. Indians took care of the Red Sox in three. Bye-bye, Big Poppy. And gotta give those guys credit. They'll start tomorrow, I believe, in the ALCS to see who can win the American League pennant. Get that thing done. And, hey, man, let's start rocking. Let's get it to another level. But, hey, fella, hey, hey, fam, as in DC family, let's rock today. The DMV needs to rock today for the Nationals. Again, I don't like Scherzer pitching in this game, but the fact of the matter is he will. Hey, I've always stated DC fans can rock as well as anybody out there. People know it because of the skin. People forget that the Bullets used to rock back in the day at the Capitol Center, and we can't even remember the crowds in the 20s when the Senators was winning World Series left and right with Big Train out there. They're throwing bullets left and right, but we'll see tonight. Tonight should really rock out there. Hey, watch for the clutch guys for the Nationals, Murphy and Harper, and hey, the Dodgers. I always say Gonzalez and Turner. Those are the guys you got to watch out for at all times, and watch out for Kendrick as well, or pinch hit or something. And he has been hitting the ball really well lately, regardless of the position he's been playing in terms of whether it's pinch hitter, whether it's leadoff, whether it's batting seventh, it hadn't really mattered. Kendrick's been hitting regardless. Okay, now we get to football. Woo! Didn't really mess around there. I mean to elongate that, but hey, baseball, you know how I feel about the baseball. Ooh-wee. Okay, now going to the NFL this weekend. First game is tonight. Tonight you got the Broncos and the Chargers. Hey, the Broncos had their first loss last week at home against the Falcons. Remember, where Trevor Siemian didn't play. Paxton Lynch played. The Falcons took care of business. The Broncos lost their head coach. Kubiak has a complex migraine, so he's not able to go. But you know the defense is going to be coming out flying for the Chargers. Vaughn Miller. I mean, most people come up here to get a Super Bowl ring and they take off. He might have gotten better. He done recovered 4 fumbles since this season. He has just been all over the place. Meanwhile, the Chargers, they just keep on losing games at the end, and I don't know how they do it. They've lost their last 10 games against the AFC West, attempting not to lose number 11. They've turned the ball over 11 times. Last week, they had a field goal try that was botched. That was actually a turnover that could have tied the game. The Raiders go on to win. They just have lost game after game in the last 5 minutes of action. They just cannot get anything done in crunch time. Yes, we know Mike McCoy is in trouble, but a lot of it I don't even think is his fault. I just think his team just miss it when it comes winning time. Now, getting back to here on Sunday, you got a big-time NFC East showdown breaking down here at the Eagles come to town to play the skin. Anybody recognize – anybody, remember last year when everybody was talking about how bad the NFC East was? Look at the NFC East now. Look at them now. How about that? Everybody has 2 victories. Any other division say that? Anybody else say that? I'm just wondering. The The Skins are 3-2, going up against the Eagles of 3-1. It should be a good one. When it's interesting with the Eagles, got a rookie quarterback. Everybody's talking about Carson Wentz. What about the rookie head coach and Doug Peterson? Done a pretty good job so far. Of course, he is a disciple of the Andy Reid regime and so on and so forth. And then you got the Skins. They've got a whole lot of stuff that's been going their way. But how about this? Nobody even saw this coming. Trent Murphy comes up and gains all this weight, becomes the defensive end. Well, Junior Gillette gets injured. Now they need another outside linebacker, so they bring Trent Murphy back to outside linebacker. He doesn't really lose the weight. Now he comes up there, he's playing outside linebacker, and he's still crushing people. He's getting to the quarterback better than he has ever. 4.5 sacks in 5 games. Give it up for Trent Murphy. He's been getting it done. Only issue the Skins might have, Jordan Reed. He just was found to have a concussion. He has to go through concussion protocol. Oh, he is a very big if on Sunday's action in Oakland with the Raiders. Oh, man, this is my favorite rivalry right here for the Raiders, that is. No, we don't like the Broncos, but the Chiefs take it personal. 57 years they done been together. But no, we don't like the Raiders. No, we don't like the Chiefs. Neither one of them likes each other. They want to get at each other. Something awful. And the Chiefs got a huge advantage here. And they're off a bye week. You know how good Andy Reid is off a bye week. 15-2. Sensational. You know, see if Jamal Charles can get off and get running a little bit. That'll be big time to see. Hey, got to give it to the Raiders, though. They keep on. They make fourth-quarter comeback after fourth-quarter comeback. Did it last week against the Chargers. Did it against the Ravens before that. Did it against the Saints. Tried to do it against the Falcons. Came up short. But got to get the Raiders credit. They really keep on coming in the fourth quarter. Over there in the Meadowlands, the Ravens play the Giants. It should be very interesting because both teams, you know, they freed up their OCs, Mark Trestman. They sent him out after they didn't run the ball enough against the Skins. I don't know. I guess they were supposed to squash the Skins or something. And now McAdoo's taking over back the OC for the Giants. I thought he always was, but it is what it is. Is Manning, he's been struggling this year. Started off fast. Remember, they started 2-0, lost their last 3, hadn't really got it going since. And what about the Ravens? Weren't they about ground and pound? You know, they come up, they get rid of Justin Forsett. And the fact of the matter is, they come up, Joe Flacco, he's thrown 216 passes so far. That leads the NFL in passes thrown. I don't know if that's really what you want if you're the Ravens, but it is what it is. In Detroit, the Los Angeles Rams going to see the Lions. Hey, you know the Rams want to get after that passer. You know they want man Aaron Donald going up there, laying a wood to Matthew Stafford. Hey, Matthew Stafford has played pretty well this season, and he played really well last week. They snapped a 3-game losing streak, beating the Eagles by 1, had 2 huge turnovers at the end of the game to win the deal. Then they come up, they just signed Justin Forsett to go in the backfield. Theo Riddick, he's really good catching the ball, not so good at running the ball. Well, we'll see how that works for the Lions as they go up against the Rams. Going to New England, well, they haven't had a break, have they? The Bengals just can't seem to catch a break. And how about this? They haven't won in New England since 1986. Oh, yeah. I was in the 9th grade that year. Oh, wee. Long time ago. Bengals lose 2-4. How's that going to sit everybody? You know, Marvin Lewis always got to worry about his job over there in Cincinnati. 2-4. Meanwhile, the Patriots is coming along as they normally do, around this time of year, Tom Brady comes up. He plays his first game. He throws for 400 yards. He throws for 4 touchdowns. Oh, hum, la-di-da, the Patriots. And now everybody's like, oh, who is going to beat this team? Both their tight ends have great games. You're going to have a problem with that all season. You're not going to be able to guard those two guys. Marcellus Bennett and on one side, Rob Gronkowski on the other. Good luck with that. Should be a good one because the Cincinnati, they better play. They go 2-4. They can't. All right. I do not know what happened right there. The phone just went out. I don't know. I'm just going to say it is what it is. On that one. But anyway, I'm going to finish up. Patriots, they're looking good, and as such. Hey, got to go to Seattle with the Seahawks and the Falcons. The Falcons, hey, they're number one in offense. They got the most points scored. They got the most total yards. They got the most passing yards per game. But the interesting thing is the Seahawks, they're third in scoring defense. They're first in yards allowed. They're second in passing yards. It should be a real game going up against each other. Other than that one, win, but you know, they're in Seattle. Kind of difficult to win in that place. Who would have thought this was going to be a big game at the beginning of the season? The Cowboys and the Packers. Holy mackerel. Hey, come up in there at QB. He has been pretty darn good, connecting on 69% of his passes. How about this? A rookie record, 155 attempts without an NIT. He didn't even fumble until last week. He has been really, really solid. The fact is, you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's going to have more load than normal. Eddie Lacy, he's injured. He has an ankle injury. And then you got Starks, he has a knee injury. Don't know who's going to be the running back over there in Green Bay. Again, pressure goes to Aaron Rodgers. Don't worry about it. He can handle it. In Houston, Colts come to town to play the Texans. Big, big matchup. If you want the Texans, if you want to get some respect, you better win this one. They have the Colts, they've been on the ropes. They've had been starting 3 rookies on the offensive line. Andrew Luck has been getting hit left and right, but he's been playing well. He's been playing really well, but what about Brock Osweiler? Oh, yeah, the people are not happy over there. He's the dude with the $30 million guaranteed. He already got that money in the bank. But yet, if you look at his numbers, it's not much different than Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, the quarterbacks they've been previously had up over there. And if you look right now, only Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston have more interceptions than Brock Osweiler. You have to be worried about that if you are a Texan. Ooh-wee. All right, the college season. College week. We're going to have to really, really scoot through this one. This is going to be interesting. On tomorrow night, interesting game. Just a little bit interesting. I don't really put much credence to it. Duke playing at Louisville. The one-man show. Well, I'm not going to say one-man show. You got the show of Lamar Jackson out there. How about this? 28 touchdowns, 14 passing, 14 rushing. He has been unreal. Number one offense in all of college football. They're averaging 58 points a game and over 659 yards a game. Woo! And then they got one of the best wide receivers. Nobody talking about James Quick. Quick, he has almost 500 yards receiving. He has 4 touchdowns. He's the main dude over there at Louisville. Hey, but can't this tell Duke? Duke this year, they beat Notre Dame. They just barely got by Navy the last week. But the fact is, Duke has started slow. Now they're 3-3. They might have gotten their composure. Watch out this week. Look out for this one. NC State at Clemson. Now, do I think NC State going to win? I don't know. The fact is, NC State defense, they have really started making inroads this year. They are the 12th best against on third down conversions. 20 of 71. people that's under 30%. They're 12th in the nation, the 28.1%. Matthew Day, he is one of the best running backs that people don't give any credence to out there. And Ryan Finley, he's been doing a good job over there at the Wolfpack. Wolfpack 4-1. People better not ignore this team. We know what Clemson's got rolling up over there. There last week, they finally got those big plays running. And when you get that going, look out. You have DeSean Jackson. He's thrown his 9 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. And then what about Deion Kane? Boy, he's starting to get it going. He has 13 receptions, but 6 of them been touchdowns this year. Ooh, my two teams going against each other, and you know I got a problem with that. But it's going to pretty much be the preview of the ACC Coastal Division Championship. Last week, Carolina got blown out by Virginia Tech. This week, Carolina plays at Miami. Next week, Miami plays Virginia Tech. Yeah, there's your playoffs right there, if you ask me. Look here, Carolina, they were turning the ball over left and right against Virginia Tech. They had 4 turnovers. Mitch Trubisky had his worst day of the year. He was completing 76% of his passes before last week. And last week he went 13 for 33. How does that happen? Meanwhile, to you, they're still trying to figure out how they lost that game. Whether it was Kaya's key, NIT, in the end zone in the third quarter, or whether it's the block PAT at the end of the game, whatever you want to say it, Miami lost their opportunities. They fell short. This is going to be for the ACC Coastal Division. They win the next 2 games, Miami's going to win the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, Miami's not going to lose this thing if they win their next 2 games. And you can lock that down. Wake Forest and Florida State, really just wanted to talk about Florida State. Got to give a lot of credit to DeAndre Francois, the Rushy Frosh quarterback over there. Man, he was beat up, and he showed a lot of data live and surging in the head, and they came up, took out Miami 20-19 last week. And what about Dalvin Cook? In his first 3 games, he had 208 yards, and his last 3, 557. He's starting to get it rolling. Hey, y'all better pay attention to this. Alabama and Tennessee. I'm almost going to say Tennessee's going to win. You know I don't like Tennessee. You know I have never stood Tennessee. But this time they got sleeps out there. Last week they scored 3 touchdowns in the final 8 minutes to tie A&M. And remember, they had 7 turnovers. That's the only reason they lost the game. They show perseverance like nobody else. They have come back every single game. Yeah, and you know you got Allen Hurts out there doing his thing for Alabama. What is it? What does he have? Like 256 yards total offense per game. Man, he gets it done. He has become that exciting, that fear everybody has. Meanwhile, wow, do we have enough time to talk about Ohio State and Wisconsin? Not really. But I really think this is going to be a big one. The early elimination game for Wisconsin, they know they lose this to Ohio State. They are short. You can think that they're short. I think they're short anyway. DJ Barrett, sensational, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He has been fantastic. Watch out for Ohio State. Until Monday, toodaloo, and bye-bye. Whew.